Hello and welcome to another episode of the Bat 8 Don't Bowl podcast, and this week we're letting the carnival cricket take a back seat. The IPL rumbles on, sort of, with four teams clearly just better at cricket than the other four. Ravi Jadeja confirmed his knighthood at Chennai's Old Boys reunion, and AB de Villiers remains the biggest dog of all the big dogs at RCB. However, it's matters closer to home we focus on this week as the county championship continues to seek some sparkling performances. As ever, I'm joined by Ed and Elliot, and as rumours arise of a breakaway cricket Super League following his side's dominant start to the season, we spoke to Hampshire's own reality TV star, international man of mystery, and last but not least, all-rounder Ian Holland, and here's what he had to say.
Well, thanks very much for joining us, Ian. It's lovely to have you. Hampshire, obviously, playing tomorrow, so very nice of you to give up some of your time and your evening before the game. Obviously, this could become part of your process if tomorrow goes well, and that's fine with us. We just want to make that very clear. But your form of late has been really good, so what has been your strategy?
Boys are going really well. We've 2 out of 3 wins, and it's been good to personally be amongst the runs. Nothing's really changed. I guess I've just sort of trusted in my training routines, and opposition dropped a few catches and I kind of went off my start. So that's probably about it, really.
Another lovely place to bat as well, the Oval. Are you looking forward to getting out on the square tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a really nice, nice surface. It's always a pleasure to play out the Oval. So, looking forward to the challenge. They're a good team. And but it is one of those wickets that if you do get through the new ball and get yourself in, you can set yourself for a big one. So, fingers crossed. Something along those lines would be great.
Make it sound really simple. You just go out there and have a bit of a bat and then come home, right?
Yeah, it's... It does sound simple, but it's not always the case. Just have to wait and see what happens.
It's been such a good start for Hampshire this year. As you said, 2 wins out of 3 and a pretty dominant performance the other day as well, having them 9 down. What's the mood around camp at the moment? Are you feeling like you're going to make a real push for the championship this year?
The mood's great. Obviously, you know, when you're winning games of cricket, it's a great place to be around in any team. It's been really pleasing the way we're playing and being really consistent. Even with the draw against Gloucester, we put in 4 really good days of cricket and kept pushing for a win when it looked like the game would probably peter out to be a draw. So we did some work through the pre-season as a group, and I think some of that sort of teamwork, just getting the group together at the start of March and that all that sort of stuff helps. And the boys are sort of, really, a really tight knit group at the moment and having some good success. So hopefully we can just keep, trying to, play to our game plan. And I'm sure that the results will keep falling our way if we do.
Yeah. You got to say, I've been pretty impressed with how both yourself and Mohammed Abbas been going this season. He looks to have added something special to that side. I think it was a hat trick he took. Was it a couple of weeks ago now?
Yeah, against Middlesex. Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at the scorecard, and the next thing I knew, it was 14 for 5 or something like that. And I can only imagine having someone with that skill added to the side has really been a boost for you. But what we all really want to know is what makes him tick. Like, is he a good bloke?
No, he's been a great addition to the group. He's obviously a world class bowler, and his skill set's ridiculous. He just doesn't miss. He doesn't miss a 20-cent piece. And that spell against Middlesex where he took, I think, 5 wickets in the first 17 balls of his spell. I was just in awe. Like, it was as good as I've seen. And we've obviously got Kyle Abbott as well, who's, one of the best in the country. His record sort of speaks for himself. And Mo's a beauty. He's English isn't his first language, and we understand and respect that. But he's starting to really open up around the group, and he's offering some good value. He's a ripper.
It's been a different role for yourself this year as well, because last year you were the Hampshire's top wicket taker in the Bobworth Trophy, and this year to not really be asked to bowl a lot because of the likes of Abbas taking 5 wickets in 17 balls, as you said. Has it been difficult to adjust, or you enjoying not having that much of a workload at the moment?
No, I'm really enjoying sort of the move back up top with the bat. I'm enjoying the challenge and obviously, yeah, having some good success. And I guess, yeah, for myself personally as an all-rounder, your role is going to change depending on the balance of the team. And I was pretty certain, looking at the makeup of our team this year, that I wasn't going to be getting the new ball. And more than happy to follow the likes of Abbott and Abbas and just hold off Menendez really probably into the wind and let them freshen up for a few overs before they come back for their second spells. But I think it's nice being an all-rounder. You're always involved in the game and really enjoying the role this year with the stick more so, being that top order bat. And then depending on conditions, if it's a seaming wicket, then I'm bowling plenty of overs. But on the weekend, if it's a drier turning wicket, we've got Mason and Dawes to sort of bowl a lot of those overs after the new ball and through that middle period with the spin. So I think we got really nice balance to the team and the results are probably showing that at this stage, and hopefully we can just keep on rolling on.
Is that the plan going forward? Are you going to try and stay at the top of the order for next couple of seasons as well? I've seen, obviously, you signed another year with Hampshire. Is that to look to bat up there as well, or are you happy just working throughout?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really keen to make that sort of opening spot my own. Hopefully I can keep having success and stay up there. I really enjoy sort of trying to set the tone for the innings and work through that new ball for the team. It's like I said, it's a really good challenge, and I'm someone that really likes to sort of take on those challenges when they present themselves. So I'm more than happy to hopefully stay up top.
How did it come about? Because obviously, you mentioned that it was a bit of a big change when you came in and when you started doing it a couple of seasons ago. Was it difficult to make the transition at first? And was it you kind of didn't have anybody and you kind of said, right, I'll do it? Or was it somebody came and said, right, we'd like you to open the batting this week? And, well, you scored 100 in your first game opening the batting. So, yeah, it must have been quite a simple transition. But what was it like?
It wasn't sort of always the plan, I guess. I moved to Hampshire as a bowling all-rounder. I started sort of batting at number 7, but I batted up the order in a lot of second team games and had opened and made hundreds in second team cricket and also in grade cricket back in Australia. So I'd sort of sniffed an opportunity within the team up top. They'd been sort of going through a few openers that 2019 season, and I wasn't playing consistently in the team. So I sort of, had the conversations with the coaches and whatnot about, if there is an opportunity. I just want to let you know that sort of I put my hand up to take that opportunity if it is there. And I guess that came about midway through that 2019 season. And yeah, fortunate enough to do well in that first game and string together a few scores after that. And it's funny how, doors open up, and if you take the opportunity, it's funny how it can work out. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, the journey to open the batting. But I've always sort of wanted to be an all-rounder that could be picked as a batsman or a bowler, and hopefully I'm sort of in that sort of space at the moment and need to obviously keep being there. So, yeah.
Just sort of going back on some of your time in Australia and Victoria and sort of looking into it, how you got into that side in the first place. I don't know if it's probably been talked about quite a lot for you, but from my point of view, it's such a bizarre way to get into cricket, because obviously over in the UK, we have nothing like that. Can you talk about Superstar and how that came about? Was it always the dream to be a professional cricketer and that was the ticket in?
The plan was always to go on a reality TV show as a youngster. I was lucky enough that the opportunity came up, get my lid on TV and go from there. I was always wanted to be a professional cricketer. I loved it growing up. And I guess, with Cricket Superstar, the TV show that I went on, It was a very unique opportunity, and one that I sort of just kind of fell into place. I was playing grade cricket for Ringwood at the time, and I was already in the system with Victoria. I'd played sort of under 17s, 19s, and I was in the academy at that stage for the Bush Rangers, and was kind of on the right path to get in a professional contract, but I wasn't there yet. And then this opportunity came up, and I think it was actually my coach at the time pointed it out, and I sort of ummed and ahed for a little bit, realised that one of the other boys from the club was going on it. And I thought, if he goes on it and wins, I'll be spewing because he's playing seconds and I'm playing ones. And so I went for it. And yeah, it's funny how it kind of worked out. And yeah, looking back, it was an amazing opportunity. And the show hasn't been repeated in cricket. They took the concept to the AFL for a few years. But out of that show, you know, got to connect with the likes of Alan Border, and so many of the current Australian players at that stage came in and did masterclasses and got access and exposure to some amazing players and coaches and opportunities. And I guess, going on to win that show gave me the opportunity to have a one-year contract, rookie contract with the Bush Rangers, and also a Centre of Excellence scholarship, which was a pre-season training at the Centre of Excellence for Cricket Australia, which was that following pre-season. So, that was a really good sort of fast track, I guess, for my journey. And, very different way to get there. But, it's good to look back on it now.
Another one of those opportunities where you just put your hand up and said, yeah, I'll do it.
And absolutely.
Did they audition you? Did they say, like, you know, what can you provide? Have you got any special talents other than cricket?
No, they didn't. We all reckon one bloke got on because he was good looking.
That must have been you then, obviously.
No, that was actually my mate. they did like a roadshow trial, an open trial in each state. And out of Victoria, there would have been a couple of hundred players there. They just had to be under 23. That was the criteria. Oh, okay. And so there was, I remember like loads of people rocking up, but only half of them probably had cricket spikes. and we sort of went at it for the day and did a few drills, and the coaches from the Victorian system, and then a few other people sort of picked maybe 10 or 15 players out of the day, and they did that around the country. And then I think a few months later they got the top 60 from Australia to Queensland for like an intensive weekend of training, and then they picked 15 out of that 60 to then go on the show. So it was it was quite a process, and you still had to do well and perform and to get identified and get through that initial period. And then once you're in the house, it was we lived in this house in Brisbane for basically 8 weeks, and every week someone would get sent home, you're out, go home. And we did like a number of like games and training sessions and then like funny challenges that would look good on TV, and this was just like a daily occurrence. We didn't know what was going on. Like, they had the cameras rolling when we were out on set. Like, thank goodness they didn't have it in the house, because I probably would have been taken out a long time ago if that was okay.
Do you watch things like Big Brother now and think, oh my God, that could have been awful?
Yeah, I mean, if they had cameras at the house, you just don't know what would happen. Like,
I'm not going to put you in a position where, like, you're going to have the lawyers from 2012 TV show bringing you up.
Speak to my lawyer. it was good fun though. They had a chef actually at the house. I remember that. And we got the best meals. Like, I reckon my skin folds went through the roof. it was class.
What a way to get into cricket.
As I dip another biscuit in my coffee.
it's funny you mentioned that your mate was in the twos and you were in the ones at the time, Ian. Because I've always thought, and just from things that I've heard and shows that I've watched, I've always thought that there seems to be a little bit of an alpha male heir to the cricketing changing rooms of Australia, if you like. So, and I think it does happen across like all levels of cricket. You know, I play at twos cricket, and there is the odd alpha in the side. But coming through that show and obviously winning it the way you did you then go into, you know, the Victoria side and get a little bit of pushback from the likes of the alphas in the Victoria side? Or was it a very smooth move for you?
I think I got more in grade cricket than anywhere else. Like, that was just fuel for fire in grade cricket when I went back and played at Ringwood, and your lids on TV during the week, and then you're coming out to bat against Casey South Melbourne and blokes are walking onto the ground, and you just kind of, you know, thank them for their support. And what are you doing Monday, champion? I'm going to training. But, I think in the Victorian system, I was quite lucky because I'd already been around that group for a few years in the under 19s, and I'd actually played one second team game before I went on the show. So there was no kickback at all. Like, the guys were so welcoming, and I think I was quite lucky in that aspect. If I'd come from nowhere and then was all of a sudden in the system because of this show, I think that would have been really hard. But I definitely was on the right path, I think, to get into the Victorian team eventually. But I just like to think that the show kind of sped that up a little bit. Yeah. But you're right, the Australian system, there is a lot of alpha male in, and have you read the Grade Cricketer book? It's a good one to put on the list if you haven't.
I'll definitely be giving that a try. I say you do get it though, isn't it? I think like even in our Saturday sides, I remember being like 13 years old going up to places like My Stake in the Wet, and some 40-year-old bloke saying he's going to threaten to bat you after you knock his off stump by the ground. You know, it does happen, doesn't it? It happens everywhere.
Oh, the Weekend Warriors, mate. It's what makes the game beautiful.
That's why we love it.
Exactly right.
I like the fact that people were walking you onto the ground. I hope you're saying, well, I hope you vote for me next week, Pam. Like,
yeah.
Get the numbers up.
It was brilliant. I remember one bloke, he literally walked me on the ground, and they're the worst team in the league as well. It was classic. I think we beat them outright or something.
Just as a follow-up question to that, you mentioned all the alphas, especially in the Australian cricket and changing rooms. Who would you say is the biggest of the lot in terms of, you know, stamping his authority in the changing room? Maybe
in Hampshire.
In Hampshire, in any cricket you've played with. Yeah, I personally think
someone like
the big alpha. So.
You know who I'm going to say. It's an Aaron Donald, isn't it?
Oh.
He's the biggest alpha of them all.
It's his hair. Just gets in the way.
Spreading his scent, rubbing his big moppy hair all over the change rooms. I think it's funny. Like, everyone has a laugh about it, but I think at the end of the day, if you're playing cricket and spending 4 days, you know, week in, week out with the group of players, if you're what they call a shit bloke or an average bloke, you kind of get found out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Which is one of the great things about cricket. But no, we do have a good laugh and, you know, rib each other, which is also one of the great parts of a change room and whatnot.
Talking of that, you're obviously his landlord. I mean, what's he like? What's he like as a rentee?
Yeah, no, he's class. What can I give for you? His Sunday roasts are exceptional. I think as long as he keeps delivering there, we've got a good thing going there. He's obviously been through some trialing times with injury, but he's an absolute ripper. He's good fella and easy to live with.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, just make sure he does his dishes, but no. We're all as bad as each other.
I think coming on from that is, obviously we talked about your first 100 earlier, and it was also a record partnership between you and Nye, and Nye talks about it very fondly as one of his favourite cricketer memories. What do you remember of that day, and how special was it for the both of you, obviously living in the same house and getting your first 100s for Hampshire on the same day?
Yeah, it was very special. I remember the day fondly as well, my first 100, and to get it with an iron who, yeah, is a good mate of mine, and obviously housemate. It was brilliant. And yeah, you know, I just remember being up the other end for probably one of the best knocks I've seen. He just absolutely smacked him that day and sent that second new ball to all parts of the ground, which he likes to joke about. But I think the best thing about that day is we got great tradition at the house after that. We went and got five guys after day's play, and we just made it a tradition there and then with anyone in the house gets a 100 or a five. We just, the whole house has to get five guys burgers and shakes.
I love that.
And so that's probably, you know, the long lasting tradition. I think that it's going to last longer than, that's going to be remembered more so than the partnership, I guess. No, but it was a very good day.
You guys have been shelling out some money on Five Guys recently then.
Yeah, we have actually. We've been going large the last couple of weeks. it's a privilege to be able to order that off Deliveroo if you end up having a good day.
So it's been a plenty, 200s and a 50 to start the season. I mean, you can't really have asked for a better start, really. How you feel? Are you just seeing it like a football, or is it just, you know, one of those things where everything's come together at the right time?
I think it's very pleasing, obviously, to be in the runs early and get off to a good start. I haven't really felt like I was coming to the season any differently. I just sort of trusted in my sort of training routines and transitioning back into red ball cricket. I spent the winter in Australia playing one day cricket in grade cricket. But, you know, now I've been playing for a while and you get to understand your own game. You kind of have your own sort of, you know, way about preparing for formats. And, you know, I did sort of my planning for red ball cricket and felt good going into the season from like a preparation point of view, and then just putting in the work at training, trusting sort of what I think is right. And then, yeah, it's pleasing to then be able to go into games and just keep it really simple, I guess, sticking to, you know, pre-ball routines, that sort of thing, just trying to find a way to get through the new ball and it gets easier and then to get a start and then to go on with it. It's really pleasing. And I think it's funny, once you do it once, it just seems to click sometimes and you can just keep it rolling on, which is kind of how it's been going at the moment. So hopefully I can stay somewhere around that zone and keep having some success.
Moving on to your international career, I suppose you call it, with the USA, is there, basically, we all wanted to talk about some rumours of a potential move into some American cricket that some people are potentially getting excited about. There's whispers of big money over there trying to get players to go over and smack the ball. Have you been approached yet as part of the USA squad to head any of that up?
No, well, I think it is exciting. There's a lot going on with Major League Cricket and looking like there's going to be a T20 league happening in a couple of years. And I think the USA, it's such a big market, obviously, massive country, but there's so many expats of Indian and West Indian sort of nationalities that there is actually a lot of cricket supporters there and there is a market. So if they can roll out the T20 league, I can see it being quite successful, something similar to the Major League Soccer, which has had good success. So,
following for the cricket? I mean, it's not something I was really aware of over in the USA.
Yeah, also the ACE network, which is sort of funding the Major League Cricket, they run a subscription channel with streaming cricket into the US, and they've got, like 5 or 6 million subscribers, and it's a huge base already. And I think, quote for quote, but something like the second largest TV viewing audience for countries for the 2019 World Cup is actually the USA after India. Which is, quite amazing. So I think it is a bit of a sleeping giant, and obviously it's still very early days, but it's nice to be involved. And really enjoying the opportunities and challenges of playing associate cricket. It's been really pleasing. So it's nice to be on that journey as well, and seeing how it develops.
Do you think you'd like to see more of that associate cricket? There's talk of a sort of tier two league, I guess, that USA would be part of. Is that something you'd like to be part of?
Yeah, like it'd be interesting. I don't know if I can ever see USA playing test cricket. Maybe down the track, but I reckon they'll try and nail on white ball cricket, T20 cricket maybe, and 50 over cricket. I just think that's more of an attractive product for, I guess, a new sporting environment in the US. I can't imagine too many people will be getting into watching 5 days of test cricket, but who knows? Like, it might be further down the track, but maybe I'll be coaching by then. Who knows?
They'll give you one of the franchises.
They're the New York Knickers, the Los Angeles Legends.
They've clearly given some thought to that. I like that. Well, I think, how did you kind of get into that? It's obviously been a very unique career for you so far, obviously, with Cricket Superstar and then coming over here to play for Hampshire as well. That must have been difficult, obviously, moving away from Australia to bet on yourself and come here, and then to get the call from USA. You know, how do you feel about having such a topsy-turvy career so far and still being a relatively young man?
Yeah, thanks, Gav.
No worries,
young at heart. I've never really given it two thoughts about. I never really looked back on it too much about all the moving, and I've just been sort of chasing the dream of being a professional cricketer at the end of the day, like with Victoria for 5 years, and it wasn't working, and the options were then like, do I move into state or do I come over to England and have a crack in the county systems? And I remember when I made the decision to come over, it was like, well, I'm 25 now, and if I go to England, I'm going to obviously put all my eggs into being a cricketer. I'll know probably within a year if it's going to happen or not, and then I can either, you know, move on to something else with life, or, you know, I'm kind of in where I want to be as a professional cricketer. And it was like, obviously looking back on it, a massive decision, but at the time it was kind of like, do you want to be a professional cricketer or not? And I did, and I backed myself in, and it was lucky that I had the opportunity to come with Hampshire and try and break in here, and it's sort of all worked out. And then the USA connection, so I just got approached. I got contacted by USA Cricket in 2019, and I was obviously born in the States, and that was probably the only way I think it would be on my cricket info profile, or there might have been some articles written that I was born in the US. And I guess they found out through those channels and went over. We had a 2 week break in the 2019 season. I went over to LA and had a bit of a stint there for 5 or 6 days, and got to know sort of the system and the team, and then played some tours at the end of that county season. We went to Dubai, played the UAE and Scotland in a tour. We won 3 out of 4 games, and then we played Nepal and Oman in Nepal in January, February of 2020, which that was a really cool experience to play in Nepal. Now, I never would have thought that I'd be playing cricket in Nepal in front of like 10-15,000 of the loudest fans I've ever heard. It was a pretty awesome experience, and tough cricket, turning wickets, I tell you what.
Yeah.
But it's been a cool journey, and I guess as a cricketer, you kind of need to be that sort of, 365 days of the year, anywhere in the world. It's with T20 leagues now, you never kind of know where it might lead, and I've just kind of had an open mind and enjoyed the journey. So, yeah.
Well, may it continue.
Yeah, hopefully.
it's quite interesting you say that you think that maybe the US will go down that sort of T20 route, because it's obviously the route that it's where the money's at. And I think everybody knows that. I think There's a lot of cricketers that obviously know that as well. You've seen a little bit of it recently. There's a bit of club versus country stuff going on now. There's like Jofra and all the like of the players that are come back from the IPL. Are they going to go out to the IPL and that sort of thing? Where do you think T20 cricket is going itself? Because obviously, is this going to become the majorly dominant sport in terms of the cricketing globe, if you like? So for a player like yourself, are you thinking, you know, do I want to maximise how much money I can make from this as a career, or is it more about sort of the pursuit of just playing cricket for you sort of thing?
It's definitely a balance because I can only speak personally, and I can, you know, blokes that get offered that amount of money to play in the IPL, I mean, that's just life-changing. You can never kind of blame anyone for taking that opportunity, because I think being a cricketer, it's such a short period of your life, and you know, injury can strike at any time. It can finish up as quickly as it kind of takes off. So from that, you know, opportunity point of view, I'd never really look at someone taking an opportunity like that and, you know, think less of them. But I think for me personally, and I haven't had that many opportunities to play in T20 leagues and stuff around the world, but I feel like I'm still at a stage in my career where playing four-day cricket, it gives me a lot of sort of substance to my cricket, and I'm still learning so much by playing, you know, real hard four-day cricket. I feel like it gives me a really good base to then go off and, you know, potentially play T20s and other stuff around the world. I couldn't see myself sort of giving that up, and I obviously love it too much as well. From that sort of T20 versus Red Bull cricket, I'll probably play Red Bull cricket as long as sort of my body allows or whatnot. What else was I going to say? I've just lost track of my thoughts. But from a playing point of view, Red Bull cricket, it's still the purest form of cricket for me. And I think a lot of players are like that. They would, you know, it'd be a real shame to ever lose that, because I think it is the most pure form of the game, Test cricket. And watching a Test match play out, come down to the last, you know, hour of the fifth day, and then be on a knife's edge, like, that's just what makes cricket so good and unique. And I think I can't ever see Test cricket going anywhere. I just don't think, you know, the cricket world will allow that to be lost. I can see, you know, lots of T20 leagues and money being made out of cricket in the T20 format. But, you know, you'd like to think there's still a balance between red and white ball. And I think, you know, it'll always be seen as a pinnacle playing for your country in Test cricket, as far as I'm concerned, because it's the hardest format. So I reckon it'll stay.
Yeah, I'm coming on to that. Obviously, would you still take the call? You know, obviously, I think you qualify for both England and Australia. If that call did come, would you take that? I think, because obviously you love cricket so much, and Test cricket being the pinnacle. Are you still holding out hopes for that call to come one day?
I wouldn't say I'm holding up hopes. I think I'm pretty realistic in sort of understanding where I stand in the whole pyramid scheme of things. But, you know, like, Test cricket it's the ultimate challenge. And, you know, if that opportunity was to ever come up, of course, you know, you'd take that on with both hands. But, you know, I'm pretty realistic and sort of understand that, you know, to be a good first-class cricketer and play at Hampshire and have success, you know, I'm very happy with how things are going. But, yeah, who knows?
I reckon the Aussies will be looking for a new captain soon, so there's space.
I'm an English player now.
Oh, I love it.
So, obviously, the amount of time you've played for Hampshire has allowed you to qualify, is that true? Or have you got an English connection on a family as well?
Yeah, so I've my dad's English by birth, so I've got a passport. Okay. I've got English, Australian, and American.
Easy.
Call me Jason Bourne, but I've signed as up to be a local player in England now.
Good boy, good boy.
England and England and Wales.
Appreciate it.
I can't.
Yes.
Can't let that slip. I got told off last time.
So what about the 100 then? We touched on white ball cricket there as well, but what about the 100? What's your thoughts on that then? It's like the opposite end of the scale of your love for red ball cricket comes down to 100 balls. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it goes. I think everyone's kind of, you know, waiting to see what the reaction is and, you know, the level of cricket. It's going to be good. There's some great players playing. So hopefully, it kicks off unaffected like last year, and it's going to be some slight changes, which will take some getting used to. But I remember when we started, 2020 cricket, it was so foreign, and this isn't that foreign. It's rubbing off a bit of time and a few balls. But it's going to be. I'll be watching. Hopefully, I'll be playing. But who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. But it'll be good to see how it goes and takes off.
Yeah, my next question would be is obviously coming on from the 100, which has had a lot of slack and a lot of flack thrown at it on social media, and with the clubs this week deciding they're going to boycott social media like a lot of other sports teams. How difficult is it in an age of social media, and a man who's on reality TV as well, you know, how difficult is it to kind of separate that and, you know, having those guys and basically having the ability to say whatever they want to you on Twitter? How difficult is that sometimes, or is it kind of something you don't really take notice of?
I think the level that I am exposed to would be nothing like a Premier League player, obviously, with so much more attention and followers and whatnot. Like, I think I'm still pretty sheltered in the sort of, the level that of exposure that we have. I mean, you do see, you know, people's opinions every now and then, and I've never really, it never really let it affect me. But I think it's obviously a really good thing that sporting codes are taking this stance, because, you know, at the end of the day, people don't realise that athletes still breathe the same air as you and me, and still have those, you know, are affected by feeling, by words and things that are said. And I can only imagine if, you know, something happened in a huge game and millions of people are watching, you're getting all sorts of messages and whatnot, and, you know, people behind these aliases and whatnot. You know, I think it's a good thing to make this stance and bring maybe some more accountability to those platforms. You know, it wouldn't be hard just to get an identification sort of check on anyone that opens a profile, and because then if that's kind of linked back to you as a person, and, you know, you're going for jobs and you've got, you know, these sort of things on your record of social media, people would be thinking twice about what they say. But I guess it is the world we live in. But, yeah, if some regulation comes there, it'd be good, because, I know that, you know, I know a lot of people that have sort of, you know, been exposed to that, and it's not nice. So hopefully something can progress in that space.
Ali, do you have something then?
Oh, should we do our, are we ready for our quick fire round? Are we on to quick fire round already?
Ali's voice is gone. Bless him.
That's all right.
Oh, technical difficulties halfway through.
Oh, it's all good. We can edit it.
There he is. He's back.
There we go. I couldn't hear anything.
Oh.
Which one, if you wanted to move on to quick fire?
My only question for the quick fire round would be the most obvious question for the quick fire round, which is James Vince or AJ Ty?
James Vince.
No, I gave a very similar answer. So, I think so. One I'd have is you are obviously. What are your nicknames? Because we can move on to that then.
Dutchy, Dingo. I got tulips when I was younger. National Flower of Holland. When I was quite young in club cricket, I got Louis, which was off Louis the Fly, which was a Mortine ad on TV, basically just a pest. So I've had a few, but yeah, Dutchie is the main one, which speaks for itself.
I say you've got some very creative nicknames. I love that. You know, some people, everybody else is kind of like, you know, Vincey, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. Just add a Y on the end of it. But yours are very creative. I think that, you know, something. Has anybody called you Captain America? Because that's something I'd definitely call if we were.
Hasn't had loads of substance, but longevity. But yeah, Captain America got a run for a bit. There's a few. Yeah, honestly, like there'll be one every day. It's ridiculous.
I actually embarrassed myself finding out your name was Dutchie. I honestly, it wasn't glaringly obvious to me, and I was like, "Well, guys, why is Ian's nickname Dutchie? I don't get it." And they were like, "You're an absolute twat, mate." Like, your surname.
Yeah, no, everyone. It's not. You're not the first person. Don't worry.
Where's your favourite place to play cricket?
Favourite place? Oh, it has to be the Aegeus Bowl. I've had some good success here, and yeah, it's a beautiful ground. Or I have played at the MCG. That was pretty special as well.
What would be your favourite cricket memory that you've made so far?
Favourite cricket memory? I think winning a grade grand final was really special, actually, 2014-15. I think that's probably the only senior premiership I've won. So that was probably something which sticks out. I think anytime you have success with the team and enjoy it as a team outweighs individual success for me. So yeah, that was a pretty special game.
And what's the funniest moment you can ever remember being on the cricket field? Obviously, if you can't say it for PG reasons, then we understand.
a couple. one of them definitely isn't PG. It involves playing at the Albert Cricket Ground, where there's high-rise apartments, buildings, which a lovely couple making love. I'll leave it at that. that was something which sticks in my memory. Quite clearly. Also, at the Aegeus Bowl, you know, how they've got the hotel on one side of the ground. I've seen, like, guys walk out, like, nude under the balcony, just straight out of the shower, or, like, no worries, mate. Like, we can see you. In terms of banter on the field, one thing actually happened in grade cricket, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, even longer. Was playing against Dandenong and James Pattinson was playing, and actually Peter Siddle was also playing, but I was batting, and at the tee, and I, one of the drinks breaks, Pattinson took I left my bat and gloves at the wicket, went over, got a drink, and I came back and I saw my gloves and helmet there, but no bat. And I was like, where's my bat? And I was looking for it for like a minute, like, screaming at the 12th man if he had taken it off. And then I just see James Pattinson at mid-off with like a peg leg and like walking around with my bat down his cricket pants. So that was one of the funniest things as well.
I love that. That's quality, guys. Fair play.
Yeah, it was good.
Who's your cricketing idol, would you say?
Cricketing idol growing up would have been Ricky Ponting, Glenn McGrath, Shane Watson, like those sorts of players were the ones I looked up to. Damian Martin as well. I was big fans of them. Also, Jacques Callis, being an all-rounder, very hard to go past.
Nice.
I would say, other than the 2019 World Cup, what is your favourite cricketing moment to have witnessed?
favourite cricketing moment to have witnessed? Maybe Steve Waugh's 100 against England, where he scored 100 on the last ball of the day. That was pretty cool, because I was quite young at that stage, and I remember watching it. Also, Glenn McGrath taking a hat trick against the West Indies, would have been like 8 or 9 watching on TV and just glued to the TV. Those are probably things which stick out.
Remember earlier when you said that you'd registered as England and Wales?
Yeah, business decision.
Oh, classic.
Right, well, I think that's certainly everything I wanted to ask you. Thanks so much for talking to us. I don't know about Gavin and Elliot, if you've got anything else so hard over Zoom.
Yeah. No, I just want to say thanks again for your time, Ian, and good luck this week, and let's hope you get another 100 on the board, and that means everybody has to come on the podcast, so that means you're going to do well after they come on the pod, so let's hope so.
100%. If I'm scoring 100 this week, lock me in for next week.
Lovely stuff.
Thanks very much. Yeah. Cheers.
No worries. Thanks for having me on, guys. Cheers.